man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
So last year, my brother went to Rome, and I'm not at all jealous, not at all jealous. But there was one particular building that he went to, and I would love to see it. He went to the Sistine Chapel, and you may know it, you may have been there. And it's famous particularly for the ceiling, for these amazing paintings. And there's one particular painting which is really famous and which is actually on the dig sheets there. It's the picture of God creating Adam. And you have God reaching out with an outstretched finger and Adam reaching back with his finger outstretched as well. And that's kind of God giving Adam the spark of life. Now, there's one thing which particularly interests me about this picture. It's the fact that their fingers aren't touching. There's a gap. There's a distance. And that's really the theme which runs throughout the story painted on that ceiling. It's that there's a distance between God and humankind. There's a distance that somehow has to be bridged. There's an uncleanness about the human heart that has to be solved. And there's a purity about God, which means that that gap, however good we are, remains. But this story demonstrates that something has changed, that something is different. And that touch of Jesus is so symbolic, and it means so much. Honestly, to me, this week, so you might have noticed with Matt's reading, we actually read the story of the man with leprosy, followed by the story of the healing of the paralyzed man. I was anticipating kind of, or slightly mentioning the story of the man with leprosy and then spending most of the time on the paralyzed man. But this story has really gripped my heart this week. And there's something so special about it. And I pray and hope that all of us would learn from it and God would change us through it. So let's finish the story to begin with. We've already seen about the man, his leprosy, and how in the Bible, a leprosy is symbolic for sin. We see that particularly in Isaiah chapter 1, where a rebellious people are described as being covered from head to toe in sores, wounds, scars. And we've seen how Jesus, in compassion, reached out and touched that man who maybe had not been touched in years, possibly even decades. And now Jesus says something quite funny. Let's read verse 14 and 15 together. I'll read it. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We could spend an entire sermon on verses 15 and 16 about the need to get away and be with God and rest, but I want us to focus on verse 14. It is a little bit of a strange thing that Jesus said to this man who had just been healed, "Don't tell anybody about this." That's odd, isn't it? It's really weird. I would think that Jesus would want this guy to, you know, be part of his publishing wing, like publishing what he's been doing. It's an amazing miracle. Surely he wants loads of people to know about it. But no, Jesus says, "Don't tell anybody." And we've heard this before. Back in chapter 4, we looked at a few weeks ago, Jesus comes across some demons, and these demons proclaim that this is the Holy One of God, but Jesus says, "Be quiet." So maybe this is like that. Maybe Jesus wants to be in control of his own preaching. Maybe Jesus wants the attention to be on his message rather than the fact that he's healing people. But actually, I think there's something more going on. Because what does Jesus say that the man should do instead of telling people all over the place about what's happened? Jesus says, "Go to the priest and do the sacrifices that Moses commanded you." Why does he say this? Well, here's a worrying application for you. He says it because we should all read Leviticus. So that's the application for this message. Go home and read Leviticus. And that'll be a fun Sunday afternoon. Now, Leviticus is great. It's really good. Jesus is specifically talking about Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, where Moses writes about what should happen when a person with leprosy is healed and what sacrifices should be made. You can read about it later if you want to, but let me summarize it for you. Person claims that they've been healed of leprosy. They have to go and meet with a priest outside of the camp. And the priest kind of gives this person a bit of a checkup, checks that everything's okay, checks that they've genuinely been healed. And if that was the case, then the priest would do a weird thing. He gets a bowl of clean, pure water, and he'd get two birds. And one bird would be killed, and the man would be sprinkled with the blood from this dead bird. Weird, right? And then the other bird would be set free. That's very strange, isn't it? I'll come back to that. What would happen then is the man would, if he's been healed, he would go back home, he would go and see his family, he'd go and see his friends. Fantastic. Maybe he hadn't seen them for years, decades even. And then after 7 days, he'd wash, totally shave all his hair, including his eyebrows, everything, go and present himself before the priest, and the priest would bring three lambs, pure, spotless, without blemish. And they would be sacrificed, and then the man would be allowed to go back to be in the temple to worship God. So these two things would happen. This man who hadn't seen his family for ages would be able to go back to them. And this man who hadn't been able to go and worship God for ages would be able to go back to God's house. And all of it was because of these sacrifices. And these sacrifices taught something very important. These sacrifices taught that people, unclean people, are made pure, are made clean through the death of a substitute. And of course, all of this pointed forwards to Jesus. Jesus, who's described as the, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, who's described as a lamb without spot, without blemish. This is Jesus who died on behalf of unclean, sinful people so that we could have a renewed relationship with God, so that we could all be clean, clean enough even to go into God's perfect house one day and live with Him forever. So what does this mean for us today, just briefly? Well, we're unclean. We've already seen that in the story. But sometimes we don't like to acknowledge that. We look around us, we compare ourselves with other people, and we think, honestly, I'm not that bad. Honestly, I don't feel like I'm really that unclean. I honestly don't feel like my sin is that bad. It's not such a big issue. And there's a reason for that. All of us live in one gigantic leper colony. We've all got the same disease. We're all just as broken and unclean as one another. And so when we compare ourselves to each other, of course we seem okay. Of course we don't seem that bad, because we've all got the same problem. But God's mission in the gospel is essentially this, that God, in the person of His Son, came to this leper colony to rescue us. And when Jesus came, just like when He saw that man with leprosy, He was repulsed by that sight. Our sin repulses God. He is revolted by it. It is disgusting. Our rebellion, our selfishness, our pride, it is terrible. We are covered in it. We are rotten, sores, open wounds, pus, oozing. It's disgusting. It's horrible in God's sight. And yet, when Jesus came to this leper colony, did He keep us at a distance? No. In the gospel, particularly in Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus approaches rotten, filthy, vile, dirty, unclean sinners like you and I, and He embraces us. He touches us. And in that moment, Jesus made Himself unclean. Not because of the bad things that He'd done, but because He'd contaminated Himself with our sin. Our sin, not His. And He suffered the separation on the cross that you and I deserved. We deserve to be shut out of God's perfect clean house. We deserve to be sent outside the camp, just like those lepers. We deserve to be left on our own, completely away from any of the good things that God offers. And yet Jesus has taken that sin, that uncleanness from us. And on the cross, He suffered that separation that we deserved. And in that embrace, in that touch, not only does Jesus take our uncleanness, but He gives us His purity. That's the amazing, one of the amazing things about this story is that Jesus is more contagious than leprosy. Jesus is more contagious than leprosy. His purity, His perfect life, His love of the Father every single day spreads like a disease, like a very good disease, to you and to me. And we are, in the Father's sight, as pure as Jesus is, so we can go to be with Him in the Father's pure, clean, perfect house forever. And there's an application for us as church today as well. Sometimes we are tempted to keep people at a distance. Sometimes we don't like to get involved in people's mess. We surround ourselves with clean, respectable people. We like our middle-class comfort zone, which we perceive as being more clean than other social groups, which that's completely wrong. But if we're really to follow Jesus, then we can't live like that. We can't live like that anymore. We can't just get the gospel hose pipe and spray people down from a distance. We've got to get up close and personal in people's lives. Jesus is more contagious than leprosy. Jesus is more contagious than sin. And yes, we have to be careful because we are weak, sinful people and we can get tempted. But to shut ourselves off from our non-Christian friends or to keep them at a distance is so un-Christ-like. We have a Savior who is pure, spotless, and who cleanses people. And if we're to share him, if we're to show people what he's like, we need to get right up close and personal in people's faces, in people's lives, telling and showing people the gospel. And I hope we as a church can do that. You know, we've got a couple of curry nights coming up this week. I'm really looking forward to them, not only because fantastic curry, but also because Joseph's going to be sharing about the Lord's work in his life. I'm not going to be there for it, but Corrie's going to be sharing about women and worry. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be fantastic. And it's a really good opportunity to get up close and personal in people's lives. Our neighbors, our friends, our family. These are people who might be feeling outcasts like that leper. And they're certainly unclean without Jesus. They need cleansing. And we have a gospel of such grace, of such love, that we have to share with them. So do please invite them along. Do please come along yourselves as well and speak to people that have been invited by other people. Even if you haven't invited someone, doesn't mean you can't come yourself. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful gospel opportunity. But in conclusion, I just want us to be captured by this image of this man, this leper, on his face before Jesus. That is the only hose appropriate for our situation. We are so unclean. Day after day, I speak for myself as well, we let God down. He's done so much for us, and yet we consciously choose to say, shove off God, I'm in charge, not you. Every single day. Let's come before our Lord Jesus, throw ourselves on the floor in worship and acknowledge in faith that, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Whatever sin is burdening you at the moment, Jesus can cleanse you from it. And he will. He is willing. Come to him today and know that cleansing, know that freedom, know that purity that he gives. Let's pray together. Almighty God, you are pure, spotless, holy. And before your awesome presence, we are so unclean. We are so filthy, dirty, vile. And yet, thank you so much for that gracious touch of Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that cleanses us. Thank you that now, if we're trusting in him, we're not unclean anymore. We are pure. You see us as clean as Jesus is. And I thank you so much for that. I pray that you would help us to reach out with this gospel, that we would follow Jesus' example and get up close and personal in the mess of people's lives, that we would be able to tell them and show them what Jesus is like. Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that this week. I pray that these curry nights would be such a good opportunity to share this gospel and to live this gospel to our friends, to our neighbors, to our family. Lord, we're helpless. We need you. Visit us in your mercy, in your grace. Amen.